Really, I fell into it because about 8 years ago, I was in Oxford doing some unrelated research, and I'm looking down a microscope at a whole bunch of different pieces of papyrus that were discovered 100 years ago, but come from 1800 years ago. And one of the pieces of papyrus is this ancient hymn. And it's the only example of an ancient Christian hymn that has musical notation in the style of ancient Greek notation.
Wow.
And I'm looking down the microscope at this piece of paper, looking at the lyrics, which are beautiful, and then noticing that it's actually got the melody written above it in the ancient Greek notation
Wow.
style, which can be translated as well. I thought, this needs to be brought back to life. It's crazy that no one has thought to give this back to the church and to the world. And
Yeah.
that was the thought that, ended up, giving us the project that I've been working on for the last 3 years.
Can you kind of explain the historical significance of this being brought back to life and the significance I think of it today? Like, obviously, it was significant back in the day, but what's the importance of going through that process to bring it back to life?
It's a reminder that there is a shared Christianity that goes right back to the beginning. Because the heart of the lyrics is really praise of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity. But this predates the Council of Nicaea or Emperor Constantine, where people sometimes think the Trinity was invented later in the church. But here it is, right in the earliest piece of music that we have from Christianity. So it's a reminder to us today that there is a shared unity. There is a core that all the different brands of Christianity can agree on. So I love that aspect of it. The other is we know this was written by Christians who were suffering persecution because the middle of the 200s AD was when the Romans were trying to crush Christianity. This doesn't come from later Christianity where Christians had some power. This comes from a very scary period. Yet the song is full of joy and confidence. And I think that's a reminder to contemporary Christians not to fear when the world seems like it's annoyed with us. Don't panic. Don't punch back. Don't be complainy. Lift your voices in admiration and praise to the only giver of all good gifts. That's the last line of the hymn.
Wow.
Imagine that. You're suffering. Romans are trying to kill you. And you sing a song that says, to the only giver of all good gifts, Amen, Amen. It's just gorgeous.
And you've gotten this amazing opportunity to work with some really amazing people to bring this back to life. Can you talk a little bit about what it's been like to work with Ben Fielding and Chris Tomlin on this project?
In a word, amazing. So I used to be a musician. I used to be a full-time musician. But when I'm in the presence of Ben and Chris, I realize I'm not a musician. I should just pack up and go home. And I knew my place, and it wasn't really as a musician. Look, I've known Ben Fielding for many years, and he's a dear friend. And so he was the first person, the first musician I spoke to about it. And he was so excited, he jumped straight in. So we were away to a great start. But because he felt the weight of this project so much, he wanted to share the burden with someone else. And he's known Chris Tomlin for many years, and he suggested to me he reaches out to Chris Tomlin. And I mean, obviously I know the songs Chris Tomlin has sung. I said, oh, please. And Chris was sort of instantly responsive. He, like Ben, felt that it would be difficult. How do you take an ancient thing and make it modern? But he also thought this is a great privilege. So we had a meeting, Ben, Chris, and I talked them through the original lyrics, the original tune, sort of sent them away to produce a sort of modern rendition of it. And when they came back with something pretty special.
So you talked about how, even though these were hymns from way back when, they still have relevant themes to them today. But can you dive a little bit more into what you just talked about there at the end of what the actual process was of making them relevant to today?
So one of the key intellectual or academic insights from scholars is that the original tune is not like later monastery music, not like the Holy Huddle. It's actually a lot more like the music ancient Greeks sang in their pubs and in their theatres. So that was a key for us And I made clear to Chris and Ben that they should feel free to write something very modern, to take the ancient tune and ancient lyrics, but actually completely modernize it. They should feel free to make it something that sounds beautiful to our contemporary ear. Yeah. That was super important. They could, because if I had said, oh, no, you need to slavishly, you know, obey the original music, we couldn't have produced what we've produced. And I don't think we would have honored the original songwriters if we'd attempted that, because the original songwriters were trying to reach their world by doing something culturally relevant. And that's what Chris and Ben have done. The way they did it was amazing, because they live in separate countries. Ben Fielding lives here in Australia, Chris Tomlin in Nashville in the US. So what they did is they would send their ideas to each other. They just record on their iPhone. You know, here's an idea for a song. They'd all be silent, shining stars not sound. And Ben would just send that over to Chris. And Chris would have a listen and go, oh, yeah, I think that really works well. How about this idea? You know, to the only giver of all good gifts, amen. Right. And Ben would go, yeah, fantastic. And they just send electronically their ideas to each other to the point where they had so many elements. It actually ended up being really easy for them when they got together to put the whole song into a coherent whole. And they, when they performed it to me for the first time, just Ben and Chris on two acoustic guitars at Chris's songwriting house called The Barn in Nashville, I had tingles down my spine, because here I was listening to a resurrection of the oldest Christian song.
Is there something in this whole process, whether it be, making this hymn relevant to today, the music aspect of it, the documentary, that stood out the most, or maybe even surprised you the most about creating the first hymn?
The deeper I got into the analysis of the first hymn, the more impressed I was by what the early Christians were trying to do in their song. Because there are lots of elements that seem designed to draw in those who don't believe. They're sort of cultural neighbors. The opening of the song, "Let all be silent, shining stars not sound forth." This is actually a pagan idea that the songwriter, the Christian songwriter, is using to attract visitors before giving them the news that the true God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The last line, "to the only giver of all good gifts," seems to be a play on one of the titles of Zeus, the ancient pagan Greek god, was called giver of good gifts. But this songwriter has said that the Trinity is the only giver of all good gifts. So what I was really struck by is the way these ancient Christians were trying to engage their culture in a really relevant way without compromising the truth at all. That's good. A great challenge.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to say, I think Chris and Ben have done exactly that. They've written something that is really culturally relevant, but actually stays true to this core of the Christian faith.
Now, am I right? So this has been shown in the States already. What has been the audience response to those that have had the chance to see this already?
So we've shown it in a few places in the States, you're right. We've also shown it in a few places around Australia already, sort of closed viewings before the national viewing that you mentioned earlier. And I mean, it's hard for me to sort of pump up what the response has been. All I can say is I come off, touring this thing pretty excited, pretty encouraged that this crazy idea from 8 years ago is meaningful to people, whether they're believers or not. You know, we've had people who don't believe but have been incredibly drawn to this, to the antiquity of this idea, and yet its cultural relevance today. I think it's, for Christians, a symbol of unity. You know, it's something we can all get behind. I don't mean my project, but I mean like the song, the lyric, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the only giver of all good gifts. I think that's a point of unity amidst the Christian squabbling that sometimes goes on. Have you heard every now and then? Sometimes Christians don't get along with each other.
I've heard.
Just rumors. But here is a song that just says, okay, we do stand on this same rock together.
That's so good. Now, this might be sort of the same response of what you're already seeing, but what do you hope this film stirs in people, even spiritually, like whether they be Christians or not. Obviously, like, this instills that sense of unity and hope. But what are you actually hoping it stirs in people?
I have two hopes. One is that people who aren't Christians will have a look at the film and learn a little about the origins of Christianity and be drawn to the fact that despite the various denominations and disagreements amongst Christians over the centuries, there is a shared core, and that's the place to begin. So someone who's not a believer might look into this lyric or this concept that God the Father is the creator, God the Son is the redeemer, God the Spirit is the life giver. They are the only giver of all good gifts. That they would start there and have a little investigate of the Christian faith. For Christians, you know, this unity is a dream of mine. I mean, you know, Christian disunity sullies the reputation of Christ in our midst. And I love the idea that Christians could say, yeah, we agree with that. That's the core of our faith. Let's focus on that core. Let's get along with each other in Christ's name.
I don't know if anyone else has thought about this, but I often feel like stories like this, like this is history essentially unfolding or revealing itself again today. I feel like this can have a really big impact for the youth as well. It's like a story that's passed on to them, but meets them where they're at. Why do you think this story is so important to share now, especially with youth or with young believers?
I suspect a couple of things. That many young believers, or you know, people who are young, who are just thinking about the Christian faith, look at the squabbling and arguing of Christians and think, oh, I just don't know if I want to be part of that. There's too much squabbling and arguing in politics, in culture, the culture wars and all that sort of stuff. I don't want to go into a tradition where there's more squabbling. So they're sort of weary. They're weary. Whereas I think this film and this song represents a meeting point where there's not squabbling. There's just complete 100% agreement. And I hope that would attract them. And the other thing for young people is I get the sense that at least some young people are sick of how changing society is and culture is. You know, what's cool this week is not cool next week. The technology of this week is redundant next week. And that, like, everything's just so rapidly changing. It can be disorienting and can produce in a lot of young people a feeling like, I wonder if there's something stable. Something ongoing, something eternal that doesn't change. You know, sure, some change is exciting, but I wonder if there's like a steady, solid ground I can stand on amidst all the changing crazy. Yeah. Well, Christianity, ancient Christianity, the Christianity represented by this song, is that stable, unchanging truth that can be eternally relevant precisely because it's not trying to be cool. It's just trying to be true.
You blend very well this idea of faith, history, worship. What has it been like to be able to do just that? Like, even thinking in what you just said in regards of the importance of bringing it to light today, but how have you been able to really blend the three, I think, in light of that?
Well, I mean, these are my passions. So to find a project where I get to do all of it in one thing, it has been amazing for me. In fact, I've sometimes said, what do I do now? Like, I've done the thing that brings together all my loves. It's done. So now what do I do now? I've got nothing else to do.
Early retirement.
So I've peaked. It's all downhill from here.
That's so good. Now, you had mentioned this earlier. You got to do a preview tour in early June. A lot of major capital cities that got to host some preview screenings. It's now coming to theaters across Australia. Why should people go see it in theaters right now when it's released here in a couple weeks rather than wait to be able to see it from their home?
Yeah, I mean, you'll be able to see it in streaming from late November, early December. Yeah. But that's a long way away. Yeah. And honestly, this thing is shot so beautifully. Like, the team we had working on this, to see it on a giant screen just does not compare. to a little screen. I know we're really used to seeing, you know, streaming at home and stuff now, and that's great. But I mean, even I was blown away by what the first time I sat in a theater and watched it. I went, oh my, what have we done? So I think there's every incentive to go and see it, but also to see it in public with hundreds of other people is just fun because you get to feel their reactions.
So this is a documentary. Chris Tomlin, Ben Feeling, they have come together to recreate this hymn. Is it already out or coming out to then as an album, or like what's the it's film and music kind of compiled into one. So what does that actually look like?
So the song, the Chris and Ben version of the song is already out on Spotify and Apple and Amazon and all the places. So you can already just type the first hymn and it'll take you there.
Right.
But we're releasing lots of different versions of the song in the coming months. So we're going to release the original Greek version, for example.
So
we're going to release a choir version of the new rendition. All sort of coinciding with it eventually coming to our streaming services. But you can jump into the song already. The sheet music can already be downloaded, and you can even be singing it in your church this weekend if you really want to.
Thank you, John.
Thanks so much, Abby, for having me.